Hey, hey, we are back. We are back. You are tuned in to Drive Time Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM Ankara. And we got the man.
Yeah.
The man.
The man.
Tim Martin in the building. Say hi to the people.
Yeah, hold on.
Hey there, everybody.
Hold on, Tim. I got to give you the clap, man. Not the clap, but an applause.
Yeah. It's great to be here, guys. I'm telling you, it's an honor, really.
So, Tim, why don't you give us a background of yourself and, you know, tell the listeners and tell us about Tim Martin.
Okay, well, not much to tell, not much exciting stuff about me. I mean, I am a sports reporter with the Hudson Register Star newspaper. I've been back, actually, for maybe almost a year. Before that, I was working up in Troy for 12 years at the Troy Record newspaper, and before that, I was actually working in Hudson at the Register Star. So I've been around.
Okay.
One of those guys. A little, you know, few what, years on me.
What made you take to sports writing?
Well, I've always loved sports. Always loved sports. And I've always loved the local sports scene. So it was just a natural fit for me. I figured, you know, listen, I ain't going to the NBA. I ain't going to be a Major League Baseball player. I'm not going to the NFL. So what's the next best thing to being there? And it's covering it. So if I can't do it, I'll write about the people that can do it.
One of your problems is you're a Boston Red Sox fan, so that, you know, that
kind
of just...
No, wait a minute. I saw you got that Yankee hat.
That's a big problem.
That's a big problem right there. We'll talk about that later.
There you go.
And
you
Slay.
You can't have it all, you know?
And Slay, he's a Chicago Bears fan, too, bro.
Yeah, I know.
We'll talk about that later, too.
Oh, yeah, you know that. Much to say about that.
Yeah.
Oh, you know those Bears. This is their year. Had some great free agent signings. This is the year.
I mean,
that's like a New York Knicks line.
Well,
it's not year.
Wait till next year.
I'm telling you.
I just seen that the Bears are stealing all the Denver's players. Like,
well,
so.
Well, you know. Well, because John Fox, their coach, used to coach in Denver. So there's that natural thing where they got going where okay, they're familiar with him, his system, his scheme. And so, you know, and they know the Bears is where it's at.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's the team of the future.
There's only one good team in Chicago. It's called the Bulls.
Oh,
we're going to end it at that.
Oh,
we're going to move on.
Okay.
So, Tim, let's talk about
yes.
This magical season that you were able to cover.
And
put it in your words. You know, start from the beginning and the way that it, you know, escalated to where it went.
Absolutely.
Tell your story.
Well, Vern, you were right when you said it was a magical season. It really was. I mean, it was one of those seasons that you can only dream of. I mean, you know from playing yourself. I mean, you know, Hudson has had some great teams over the years, some really, really good teams. But for some reason, they never seemed to be able to get over the hump. But this year, everything kind of just gelled and took off. I mean, you knew coming in, just from what the team had coming back from last year, that it was going to be a good team. You just didn't know how good. And how can you ever know that?
I mean,
you could look at a team on paper and say, oh, this team's got this team's got that. And that's why they play the games. But Hudson came out and did what they had to do. And they did it right from the start. I remember the first game, they beat Coxsackie Athens by like 35 points at home. And right then and there, you saw, okay, this team's got something special here. You know. And then as the season went on, They just took off. I mean, what really opened my eyes was the Ravina gold medal tournament right around Christmas time, just after Christmas. They didn't have the big man, the Hammer. Those two games. He had to sit out those two games. But what they did, they beat a very athletic Pittsfield team, 81-74. Mike Alert took over that game. He had a great game. The rest of the team, you know, pulled together, and they won that game. The next night, they looked a little tired because, you know, after coming off a big physical team like Pittsfield, you're going to be a little, you know, down and you know, a little tired and tired legs and whatnot. But they came out that next night, fell behind. One of the first times I saw them fall behind early on in the season, they were down by like 4 points with maybe 5 minutes to go in the game. And I remember Willie Walker hit two big shots to tie the game. They took off from there. They won the game by 9. I think they outscored Ravina something like 13-2 on their home floor in the final 5 minutes. So right then and there, beating a good Colonial Council team on their home floor to win the tournament, beating a very athletic Pittsfield team before that to get to the final, really, I think, opened some eyes and gave the kids some confidence, too, to say that, hey, we can play not only with these Patroon Conference schools, but teams out of our conference. And that always seemed to be the thing, the sticking point with Hudson High teams. Like, oh, yeah, they can win the Patroon Conference game because the Patroon Conference isn't as strong as a lot of people would like to say it should be. But then when you go out of conference and you win those games, that shows people something. And I think that's when really people started to take notice.
I think even on the show, we marked that on our calendar as the proven game where they would have to be able to prove that they can play against talent. And that was a big game for us because my son goes to PHS. He went to PHS.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I knew the PHS team.
Yeah.
And for them to beat Ravenna, we were very proud of them.
Yes.
But I still thought throughout the year that they really hadn't really faced any really, really, really good talent and been
exactly.
challenged.
Yes.
So at what point after that, because after that they continue to cruise on. I mean, when you beat a Catskill team the way they beat Catskill, it almost tells me that in order for Catskill to be a rival, that means that they got to get some punches in, too.
They got to get some punches in, exactly.
So, but for them to beat them that bad is just saying, all right, are we that good?
Yeah.
Or are they, you know, just don't have the talent this year? So I still was questioning whether this team could really take it to the next level. At what point did you decide, after the Ravenna game, did you see anything that said, okay, these guys might be able to win states?
Well, they just kept winning. I mean, and again, I remember coming off of that that win in the gold medal tournament, beating Pittsfield and beating Ravenna. They had a tough game after that. They played Caro Durham in Hudson, and they struggled a little bit. Caro's got a good team.
Yeah.
They had the player of the year, not this past year, but the year before, in Colby Phillips, and he's a very good player, good shooter. And Caro had a very good team this year. They're well coached. Larry Farrell, who was a Catskill guy himself, was the coach, and he really had the team playing well all year. And they gave Hudson some trouble, and Hudson ended up winning that game by 8, 69-61. And at that point, I was thinking, well, okay, wait a minute now. I mean, these teams maybe aren't as bad as we thought they were, the teams that Hudson was playing. Mm-hmm. But then they continued to win. They got even more impressive. They beat Maple Hill in Maple Hill on a Saturday night by like 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see then the team was really starting to gel. It just it went to me, Vern, from game to game. You could see the confidence building and just not only the five starters, but they were interchangeable parts. You had like 8 or 9 kids that could play and really contribute to each. And even the kids that didn't play a whole lot, when they did get in the game, mm-hmm. they were contributing. And you're thinking, okay, this team's got something. You don't have just 2 or 3 guys that can carry the load. You got anybody on any given night. You got 5 or 6 kids that can step in and put the ball in the hole. And that's what was going on. And then by the time they got to the Catskill game, as you mentioned, over at Columbia Green on that Saturday night, ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, they were incredible because I mean, Catskill has this year's player of the year, Justin Lacey, as you know, one of the best players around. I mean, not just in the Patroon, but in Section 2. I mean, kid averages 23 points a game.
But do you really think he's that good?
I think he's really good. How good? To me, he's exceptional. I mean, but you really don't know as far as, you know, what the college scouts are thinking. I mean, how far he can go at that level. But I got to tell you, I mean, he's got a nice little repertoire. He can handle the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He sees the court very well. He's tall. He can shoot. He can play inside, outside. So it all depends on how hard he wants to work and how far he wants to take it. But I think he can definitely take it to the next level.
The reason why I question that is because in that game, I saw a different player because I read an article, I think it was in Times Union, maybe a week before that, how such a phenomenal player he was.
Yes.
But then I saw Willie Walker, who's maybe, a good foot or more smaller than him, able to contain him. And I just thought that his basketball IQ wasn't there. Like, he should have been going in the post, but he was straying away from that. And I know he's just a junior.
Yes.
And I know he's a scorer, but I just felt like, okay, he exposed a part of his game that he hadn't worked on before because he should have been in the post or somewhere down there and using his height as an advantage. Because what, he's 6'4"?
So, and you're right. And that is the key, exactly that. The fact that he's got the skills, but if you want to get better and take it to that next level, you got to put in the work. Mm-hmm. And again, I think you hit it right on the head in the fact that Willie Walker played his tail off of that game. Here's a sophomore. This kid came in. Phenomenal athlete. We know what he could do on the football field as well. Came in and locked him down. I mean, held him to 14 points. This kid's averaging 23. And those 14 points were spaced out. It's not like he threw in 10 in one quarter. They were spaced out. Wasn't a factor. I think what happened that game, Hudson took away Catskill's will right off the bat.
Yeah.
Not to say they laid down or they didn't give a good effort, but after Hudson got that big lead on him and just took off, I mean, it was over by halftime, if not before then, because Hudson took away their will, and by that time, they were ready to go. I mean, they were battle-tested, and they were ready to take off for the rest of the season. And that, again, proved how good this team is. Because Catskill, make no mistake about it, is a good team and maybe the second-best team in the league this year. But Hudson proved, without a doubt, they were the best team at the Patroon, and the best was yet to come for them.
Yeah. Slay?
I mean, so now I guess that brings us to, you know, they win the Patroon, and then they go up against, you know, this phenomenal kid who just seemed like he was channeling his best Steph Curry impersonation.
I know who you're talking about.
You know, that's Glens Falls, Gerard. Like, what did you feel about, you know, watching that kid in action and going against this Hudson team?
Well, you know what? The man himself put it the best, and that was Mike Alert, when he said, okay, they got the score there in Joe Girard, but how are they going to stop a team of savages?
Yeah.
And that's what he did, man. He came out. That team was locked and loaded and ready to go. You know, it's very, very hard to stop a kid like Girard. This kid can get his shot off from anywhere on the court and more often than not nail it, and he was doing that. But you know what? That's one guy. I mean, and even though he got his, he got 39, I mean, he couldn't stop a team. And Mike Alert said it best when he said that, and I'm telling you, Hudson never looked better than they did that game. Even the McKeel Christian game before that to get to the Glens Falls game was outstanding. But that game against Glens Falls, and to me, that was the play of the year. If you got to pinpoint one play of the year, it was at the end of the game with Hudson down 78-77 with 40 seconds left in the game. Daniel Foles came up with a steal and a throwdown, and it was over. I mean, that right then and there. Then you had Hammer at the other end batting away the shot. I mean, that only charged him up even more. They hit some free throws, and of course, Daniel Foles hit those two free throws at the end of the game to lock it up, and it was over. I mean, that was one of the great wins I thought I've ever seen a Hudson High team have, and that's just me. But to me, from all the basketball I've seen Hudson High play over the years, and it's been quite a few, that was the game that set them over the top.
Yeah, that was definitely the greatest game for me as far as local Hudson High. That was the steal at the end. I know our whole section. Yeah, went we crazy. Were. I lost my voice.
I lost my voice. Yeah,
like, we was just going crazy.
Well, here I am supposed to be Mr. Unbiased Reporter. I'm sitting upstairs in their hockey press box up there. I thought I was going to fall over, you know, and out of the press box because I was so excited. That was incredible. It was timed perfectly, and then he had the nerve to go up and throw it down.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I also remember about that game that in the second half they made some really good adjustments, which I thought they should have did throughout the year.
Yep.
They put Hammer and Justin in at the same time, and Hammer was able to get a good four or five buckets right away, and it kind of changed the momentum. So it was a team effort, definitely a team effort. But I got to give it to you, man. That steal, that I mean, me and Slay happened to be sitting next to some guy that tried to trick us and act like he didn't.
he was the impartial. Yep.
Yeah. But it was a great feeling, and I was happy for them. So these guys win this game. They come home to this great celebration.
Yeah.
You know, everything's going good. They go off. They win a couple games. Then they go into a game in the semifinals, and they play a team that – from the start, we already know a couple things that's guaranteed.
Yeah.
On the Sunday after, they were guaranteed that their coach was going into the Basketball Hall of Fame for high school.
Absolutely.
That was guaranteed.
Yeah.
So as an athlete or even as a competitor, there's no way that these kids are going to just give you this game. We knew that.
No.
Number two, we also knew this guy, well, I'm going to say over 500 wins, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that meant that he was a good coach and these guys would be well-disciplined. Yep. Thanks, Slade.
Yep.
They would be well-disciplined. When we look back at this game, what do you? Because the first quarter we kind of hung in there, you know, it was kind of okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What do you think went wrong, or was this team just that much better than us?
I think what it was this team was a very, very good team. Obviously, I mean, they went on to win the public high school championship. But what it was, Hudson hung. They did. They hung with them. It was 13-12 at the end of the first quarter, and Hudson was up 21-19 with 3:45 to go, as my memory serves me correct. 21-19, Hudson's up with 3:45 to go in the first half. From that point on, Olean went on a 13-0 run. And to me, it might not seem that significant, but the nail in the coffin was with about 1 second to go in the half that the Shoemaker kid, Monty Shoemaker, hit a three-pointer from the corner to make it you know, and I know still a lead's a lead, but the lead went from 8 to 11, 32 to 21, and it just seemed to take the wind out of their sails. I mean, at that point, not that they gave up by any stretch.
No, they didn't.
Because they came out and then they were hungry in the second half as well, because they knew they were up against it, you know, against a very good team. But that team, it's just so ingrained in their system, it seems, in Olean, because they've had a great, great high school program for so many years. It just seems, of course, the kids change from year to year, but that winning tradition is instilled in them at a very young age, and they just weren't going to let up. Once they got the lead, they were not, and I never seen a team in all my years play defense like that team did high school-wise. I mean, they really got after it defensively, and I think Hudson just missed a few shots, and from that point on, it got away from them.
I heard a lot of people say that about the defense. Yes. And I'll never take credit away from defense defense wins championships.
Absolutely.
But if you have a stagnated offense, then the defense looks a lot better than what it actually is.
It's true.
And it just looked like Hudson could not get into an offensive setting at all. And it just made their defense look so much better.
Yeah, I think that's true. They weren't hitting the threes that they usually knock down.
No screens.
They also got out-rebounded.
Yeah,
they did.
Well, I mean, as a great coach he was, what he did was he pulled Hammer all the way out to the three-point line.
And
me and you said to each other, I'm like, Hammer looks like he's lost out there. I know he's not happy out there.
No, that's not his spot.
No. And it just it was a great season.
It was a great season.
Great season.
A great season. Now, the one loss certainly can't take away from the magic that the 26 games before that, had. Yeah. I mean, it was just one of those things where they just met their match that night. And of course, Olean went on to beat Marlboro the next night by like 11 to win the public high school championship. Then they went on to the Federation. They beat a team from the city, the public school athletic league champion, Kip. Mm-hmm. And then they lost their final game. It was going to be the final game no matter what. They lost the final game by 4 to Collegiate, a team out of Manhattan. So
I was kind of happy about that.
I
got a Blue Hawk pride.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to wish anybody bad,
I wanted them to lose.
Might as well win it all, man.
It was part of me that
took out Hudson. Just finished the job.
Yeah,
they were good.
And I just thought, to see an upper New York team, go down there and beat the city. Always, because even that city mentality is we're gonna crush whoever.
Yeah, them country boys. You're gonna beat them country boys.
Yeah, exactly, man. So
before we take a quick break, what do you think about next year? How do you see? Because as a competitor and as a basketball player and as a coach, I just feel next year is gonna be 10 times harder than it was this year. I think this year, as you said, when it started out, people could see they had talent, but they didn't know where it was going to go.
Exactly.
The fact that now everybody's going to come after Hudson because they were the Platoon Conference, they're the Section B. Every game is going to be a game where it's going to matter. And, I mean, it's going to be something where not only are the coaches going to have to coach sports, but they're going to have to mentor and keep everybody's spirit on 10.
Yes.
And will, and this is just a your opinion, do you think the fan support will still be there next year? Because before this winning went on, they didn't have, the kind of attendance that they had at these games.
Honestly, I'll tell you, Vern, I think it will. I think this year's team showed what can become of a winning tradition. And I think people will buy into it. I think they'll continue to come out. I certainly hope they do. And let me say this. Yeah, maybe it won't be as easy. Not that it was easy anyway for Hudson to go 26-0 and then 26-1. But I look at it this way. Any team with Mike Alert on it is going to be a good team. This kid is a born leader. And with him working hard as he does, he's going to get this team together and playing together. And he's going to will them to victories, I think, a lot of times. And with him, Tyler Della Vecchia back, you got Hammer back, you've got Justin back. He'll be a sophomore. He's just a sophomore. It'll be his second year on varsity. I'm telling you, him and Hammer up front. Forget
about Willie back.
Willie Walker, exactly. And then some kids from the undefeated JV team. Mm-hmm. I mean, remember, that team was 20-0. I mean, you're going to have some good influx of talent from that team. You got, just a golden era, I think, of Hudson High basketball, because even the modified team was unbeaten. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, again, between the three teams, they combined for a record of 60-1. That's nuts. 60-1. One loss. And that came to a team that went on to win the state championship. So, we cannot emphasize enough what a great year and what a great time for Hudson High basketball this is right now. And let's enjoy it while we can.
Especially because the greatest player right now, arguably of this era, has not even reached junior high.
He hasn't even reached junior high. Yeah.
And that's Willie Jones.
Willie Jones.
Tell me about Willie Jones.
Let's take a break. Let's take a break.
We'll take a break. We'll talk about Willie Jones because he actually played in a couple of our tournaments.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about Willie when we come back. Let's take a quick break. Yeah. Oh man, he could probably play varsity next year.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that.
Shut my. I see you doing your thing. Yeah.
Nice, smooth vibe. We are back. We are back. We are back. This is Drive Time Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM Agra. Talking to Mr. Tim Martin.
Yeah, that's so crazy. Let's sneak back in. Bring Tim back in. Where was we at? We was at Willie Jones, right?
Willie Jones. I got to hear
about Willie Jones.
Talk about him, Slay.
Bad man, yeah. Willie Jones. Now, Willie Jones, we had, you know, the pleasure of coaching him a bunch of times and coaching against him too.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of times.
That couldn't have been fun.
No, it's different.
Us, we had to strategize for him. And that made us proud that he was from Hudson.
Absolutely.
And we had to give it that much thought. So what we did is we sent our oldest guys after him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we put all the pressure on him. And, you know, it ended up working out in the end, but he's a tough character.
Yeah. And he's gotten better since then.
And he's gotten a lot better since then.
Wow. Now, what kind of skills are we talking about here?
We're talking about he can handle, he can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
They call him KD.
He's of that, you know, all-around game of Kevin Durant. Like, he's a lanky shooter. Mm-hmm. He can dunk already in seventh grade. He's tough. He's smart.
Yeah, very disciplined too.
Very disciplined.
Like, I've seen him go to the basket and not force shots. You know, he won't force too many shots.
No,
but he knows his game well enough. When he's feeling it, he'll let it go. I mean, we had the my brother's keepers game,
he
must have hit 5 or 6 deep threes in a row. Wow. Like the whole place was going crazy. Like, that game was better than the adult game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's something special, man.
And in seventh grade at 6'2", by the time he's in high school, who knows?
I mean, and
the fact that if he keeps working on his skills, I mean, that's that's something special right there.
And he has a passion for the game.
Yeah,
like,
that's
key. If you go to any court this summer and there's kids playing, you'll see him there.
He'll be there.
He'll be there. He will be there.
Got to put in that work.
And he doesn't mind going against anyone, which I think Hudson has been lacking, you know, for the past few years, is a player that when someone is great on the other team, that player that's going to say, not against us. Like how Mike Alert was this year.
Yeah.
Like, he's that player.
Yep. That'd be the torch.
With working with Mike on Saturday morning, like, basically, because we all seen him play, one of the things he had to work on is he needs, as playing point guard in high school, that's what he's going to play, and he has been playing.
Yep.
He needs some more off the dribble moves. He has to be able to separate himself. He can't always use his speed. Another thing, he needs to be able to get his shot off a lot quicker and understand how to go around picks. But what I've been telling him constantly is you need to be more aggressive, and you need to adapt this one thought in your head. If you're on the basketball court and you're on the court with someone that's not getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, they do not deserve to be on the court with you.
That's right.
And you need to get them off the court immediately. I mean, you attack them right away. Like, you do not deserve to be out here. I work so hard to be out here. You don't deserve it.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm pounding into his head. And as time goes on, with other people with him working with, I'm sure he's going to, you know, become this aggressive. Mm-hmm. Like, next year is going to be a really good year for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to understand that it's going to be his hardest year.
Yeah.
Because now you are, you're known.
You got a target.
Yeah, and they will be there to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tim, do me a favor and let's see. Let's see. You've been doing a lot of sports and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's say we'll go back to the Hudson top 25.
Okay.
Who ended up being number one? I forgot who it was.
It was a gentleman from the days of yore. He played baseball. Player from the Philmont area, Mr. Rossman. He played Major League Baseball and was quite an athlete back in the day. Way before my time, but we did some research on him and thought to ourselves, we have to go with this fella. I mean, and again, that was a lot of fun. I mean, it came together quickly and it took some doing because, I mean, trying to find some information on everybody, especially from way back when, was really a challenge, but we pulled it off. I mean, and of course there's some people that were left off, that you couldn't fit on, and some that you know, created some controversy because why was this person so low or why was this so high? But that's the beauty of it all, because everybody has their opinion, and you know, you can't take it personally, like, well, you shouldn't think that, or get angry about that, because everybody has their opinion, and not saying that we're totally right. Maybe you're right. I mean, but that was just the way it fell, and it was a lot of fun doing that. I love looking back, you know, and gathering that information. That was a lot of fun trying to find information on folks from way back when. Even if it was only 20, 30 years ago, it's still a lot of fun to look back on those days when I was growing up and reading about these guys. It was a lot of fun.
I want to ask you, I'm going to throw out some names, and I want you to give me, you know, your perception of their game. Isaiah Hurd, who's a fan also of the show. Yeah. We've had him on.
I remember because my daughter went to school with Isaiah.
I went to school with your daughter as well.
Absolutely. She knows. She's always speaking highly of you,
by the way. That's good. I appreciate it.
But there's nothing bad to say, you know.
That's right.
Mr. WGXC right there.
Mr. WGXC, exactly. It's an honor. But getting back to Isaiah, Isaiah was again, deservedly one of the top 25 athletes to ever come out of this area. He could do it all as well. Just a fine young man, had a great game, and took his skills and really did something with it. And he worked hard and made Hudson proud. I mean, really led them to the 2002 Patroon Conference Championship, and that was the last one before this year.
Yep.
And he was quite a player, quite an athlete. And you could see it from just like we were talking about Willie Jones, you could see that was with Isaiah from an early age, that okay, this kid's going to be something special. And you know what, he took that talent, he worked hard, and he made something of himself with it. So all due respect to Isaiah.
You know, friend of the show, he's been on tons of more times than we could count, Rashad Barksdale.
You talk about an all-around athlete, and one of the giants in Hudson High history. You're talking Rashad Barksdale, because not only just a great athlete, which we all know about. Mm-hmm. I mean, the kid could hit a baseball, a country mile. I mean, was great on the football field. He had some skills on the hoop court as well.
Let's not push it.
Okay, now, all right.
He was good rebounder.
But wasn't afraid to mix it up inside, we'll say. But yeah, just a tremendous all-around athlete, but as good an athlete as he is and was, and I think he still is. I mean, he was an even better and is an even better person. He has given so much back to this community. I mean, he is just exactly what you want as a role model. Just an outstanding young man and somebody that you can look up to and say, you know what, this is the way to be. I mean, he. You know, got his education at Hudson High, took it to the next level, and took it to another level beyond that. Not many people can say that. Mm-hmm. And really, really decided to give back. And you got to give him all credit, because he's a fantastic athlete and person.
I got to give him the clap, man. Mm-hmm.
No question.
My guy.
And well deserved.
Leroy Collins.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. I hear you talking about, in my view, the finest high school football player I've seen in this area ever, bar none. And there's been some great ones.
I was going to ask, is he the GOAT of the area?
In my opinion, yes. No question about it. This young man could do anything. And like Rashad, an even better person. Just comes from a wonderful family, just a great young man, and is just one of those kids that you're just happy to know and proud to know. Mm-hmm. But he did Hudson so proud. What a tremendous athlete. I'll never forget that 94 season when Hudson went to the Carrier Dome and should have won the state championship, in my view. They were the best team in not only Section 2 but in the state that year, and he led them there. He had a great line in front of him, yes, but he did so much for that team. He was the finest I've ever seen. Not only a sprinter and a fast back with all sorts of moves, but he could run up the middle as well with power and authority, and you just couldn't game plan for a kid like that. And he was the best that I've seen in this area, no question.
Clap for him too.
My man.
He was also on our live show. We broadcast live from the barbershop, MJ's barbershop.
Awesome.
Oh yeah, that was good. I got one for you.
Yeah,
Steve Weathersby.
You know what? People seem to forget about Steve Weathersby. Yeah. I remember back in the day, back in the '80s, when he was filling it up, and another kid that you could see early on was going to be a really good player. And I don't think it's enough credit, you know, because again, some of the teams that Hudson played on back in those days, or Hudson teams that played, you might not have you know, gone as far as some of the previous teams, or maybe as far as people thought they would. But they had some great players come along, including Steve Weathersby. Steve was a scorer and just a very good player all around, just an outstanding guard. And one of those players, again, in Hudson folklore that seems to slip through the cracks, but a very, very good player nonetheless.
Yep. Give Steve a clap, and then we're going to move on.
All right, Steve.